Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the August 5th, 2015 edition of Dr. Number 14's Best SF. I am the recently regenerated Dr. Number 14, and we are going to be reviewing a whole slew of shows today: Defiance, Killjoys, Dark Matter, The Last Ship, Falling Skies, The Strain, Teen Wolf, Pretty Little Liars, Stitchers, Scream, The Series, Proof, Extant, Beauty and the Beast, Under the Dome, and Dominion. So without further ado, Dark Matter. Oh, I should mention, too, that Scream the Series has been picked up for season two. Woo-hoo! Yes, sounds good. Sounds good. Still no word on Under the Dome or Extant, but we'll see. I think Under the Dome might have more of a chance than Extant because of the live plus seven ratings that it has gotten up there, like Wayward Pines. Still no word on Wayward Pines either. But okay, Dark Matter, episode 106. It received the same rating of 0.25 with 1.1 million viewers. And we see that Five has killed someone, but the guards, as well as this other character. But it's not really Five, but instead, it's Six. And WTF. So we find out that Five thinks 24 hours earlier that Five thinks she can adapt the medical equipment to use the mind probe on her. So the android helps her and they begin. And basically she has a vision and needs to be pulled out. And Five visits Six then. And she retrieved one of Six's memories when he was younger. And Six says Five needs to control to observe without experiencing any emotions. So Five wants to try again. She goes under and has another memory of Six, of how Six's brother was banished and that she blames her father. So she confronts the Emperor and finds he's already dead in bed. And actually, it's the wife of the Emperor who did it, her stepmother. So she goes on the run killing guards. And Five can't wake up, and the dream state persists. And so she has another memory, this time of herself as Dax, who has an electronic card that she lifted, and people are killing her friends to get it. And one of her friends is TJ, who's been shot. So she holds him up in the cargo bay, and she gets herself as well as TJ on board the ship. And the ship, of course, is the one that they're on right now, and she's the dead body that they find in one of the ducks. So TJ is bleeding out, and Five's organs are shutting down, and they need to get her out, so Four wants to go in to retrieve her. And in her memory, basically Three finds her, and he's going to throw her out an airlock, and says she says she has a key, but Three is not interested in it. So the android is going to try to sync Four's memories with Five's, and Four sees some of his own memories. He was a revolutionary working for the insurrection against the Galactic Authority, and a shuttle blew up the station, and Four did not know that this shuttle was going to do it, that it had bombs aboard it, and 10,000 innocent people died. So Four shoots the group responsible, and he's ready to kill himself, but the gun has run out of bullets. And then Four is able to jump effectively into Five's dream of her on a farm living with her parents. and Five sees four, and Five wants to stay, but four convinces her to go with him, and they both wake up, and Five says she trusts four. And then Four tells Six he really didn't kill his father. It was her mother who wanted her half-son to rule. And then Four wants to find the general, the one who was behind the massacre. And that's how that ends. I really like Dark Matter, probably even more than Defiance at this point. And this now brings us to Defiance, episode 307, The Beauty of Our Weapons, where it did drop a little bit in the ratings from a 0.26 to a 0.23 with 1.11 million viewers. So what we're going to do is play the Defiance theme song and then review it. Here we go. So a lot happens on episode 307, The Beauty of Our Weapons. Amanda and the others, including Nolan, are on a panel, and they all convict Datek of high treason, and he's sentenced to be hung. Meanwhile, Conrad von Bock, an arms dealer, sees Jess Berlin, and she punches him out since he sold the weapons to the Votanis Collective. But he also brought weapons for Defiance, and he gives them the weapons for free. And Berlin and Conrad get intimate, and Nolan gives the recruits the weapons. Meanwhile, Ram Tak's men are tunneling underground under the stasis net. And Alec then visits Datek in prison, and Alec is disappointed in his father, and Datek asks a sacred favor. He can't face human justice. He wants to die at the hands of his own people on a shaming rack to remove the stain from his soul. So Amanda grants the request. And then Nolan wants Theresa to join the militia, and she does join, along with other aliens that are being trained. But then Theresa has a vision of her killing Tommy, so she's still suffering from PTSD, and she breaks down, and Nolan lets Amanda take her away. And then Nolan makes a rousing speech that the militia are going to hold the line. Meanwhile, Kinsey wants to kill Stama, but the father stops her, forcing Kinsey to apologize to Stama instead. And then what happens is Conrad wants to take Jess away, so Jess wants Amanda's support to leave, but Amanda says she's a coward. And then Nolan, in fact, sarcastically thanks Berlin for her service, but she is planning to leave with Conrad. And then Datek is put on the shaming rack, and they put weights in the metal basket, and Datek's limbs are pulled by force as the weights get heavier and heavier in the metal basket. And then Kinsey, and Kinsey, by the way, is the female Olmec. Kinsey forces Stama to eat something, and when she does, Stama is on the Olmec ship, so she has a vision of herself actually on the Olmec ship, and that's how this one ends. It was pretty good, I think, with the PTSD syndrome that Irissa was experiencing, as well as Berlin's crisis, whether she should go with Conrad or stay with Defiance. So they have some good psychological moments on the show, apparently. Okay, this brings us to Killjoys, episode 105, A Glitch in the System. And it did pick up in the ratings a little bit to a 0.24 with 965,000 viewers. And I really like this one a lot, probably the best one of the series so far, where the Killjoys find an abandoned cargo ship that's transmitting a beacon. So Dutch gets aboard, and it's an oxygenated environment, but there's someone aboard, and John and Davin join Dutch, and Davin is going to rig the explosives, so once they get out with whatever's in their cargo hold, they'll blow the ship up. And Dutch enters the cargo hold, it's empty, and she finds a barricade and a man there, and then the man takes off. Meanwhile, Davin finds a blood trail and follows it to another man, Hogan. And he's infantry, and he's been there for years, stranded. Meanwhile, the one that Dutch is pursuing jettisons himself into space. And then Lucy, the Killjoy computer, goes into quarantine mode, so they're stranded aboard the ship. And Hogan is taken to the infirmary. And meanwhile, John figures out the ship is military and sees Hogan on a vid as part of the crew, a guard. And then Dutch finds all these dead bodies around. And then Hogan attacks Davin, and he's not really injured, or at least not anymore. And when he does get wounded, he heals fast, and Davin is knocked out. And when he recovers, he's locked in a chamber, and gas penetrates his mouth, and then he's interrogated. Meanwhile, John sees dozens were killed on vids, and Davin says they're black ops, the ones in control. And he experiences pain in his abdomen, and Davin says he has to finally say he killed his squad, but he doesn't know why. And it's nanites that are responsible for tearing these humans down and then building them back up again. And the program just continues to do this, torture and rebuild, operating like this. So Hogan keeps bringing people to the ship to do this too. And Dutch is put in a cage and breathes in the gas as well. But then Dutch blows up the cage, gets Davin out, and she jettisons herself out the airlock, but she gets to Lucy. And John wounds Davin so he can be fixed by the nanites. Hogan is still alive, so John shoots him in the head. They get aboard their own ship, they blow up the ship, and they decontaminate themselves to finally get the nanites out. So I like the ending, happy ending. And then Dr. Potter finds Davin has memory blockers, and then she has sex with him at the end. Always good to end with sex, I think. Okay, now The Strain. Strain has been all over the place, actually. So it's not as good as the first season, but it still has my interest. Episode 203, Fort Defiance, it received the same rating of 0.6 with 1.469 million viewers. Mrs. McGeever dies too fast from the virus in her, so they need to have enough time to transmit this to the others. So they still have to find an effective virus to test on Mr. McGeever. Meanwhile, Gus is trained by the Ancients so that they can kidnap Palmer. And then Zach is missing, and he's on a bus, and F stops the bus and retrieves the kid, and he was going to Queens for some reason, going back to his own house. Meanwhile, Satrakian, this is really interesting. This is one of the best parts, I think, of season two. He's putting some concentrate, the worms of the vampire essence, in his own eyes. And the next day, he's comatose and he's bleeding from the eyes. And Nora resuscitates him and wants to know what was in the eyedropper. But the professor says he needs some rest. And then later on, he says he's okay and he confides to Nora that he consumes the worms to maintain his health, through the eyes. And he was a prisoner in the Nazi camps, and he's over 94 years old. And it's really cool how he's using the vampire essence of the enemy to keep himself, the hero part of himself, alive. Meanwhile, Mr. Bolivar is Palmer's new bodyguard on orders of Ikers. And then Councilwoman Geraldine Ferraldo says Staten Island is a plague-free zone, and there are dead bodies with heads decapitated there for the ceremony, and she showcases them to the public that the plague is never going to come there. And the mayor wants Justine to do the same thing in New York, but she wants to call the shots, and the mayor agrees, and they're going to act as a team. Then F confides in Zach as to what they are doing, and Zach starts smashing things, the viruses that they're working on. And F shows him Mr. McGeever and says his mom is like that now. And then Dutch sees Nikki Taylor's mom, and Nikki was her lesbian friend. And mom thinks Dutch caused her daughter to be missing, and their breakup was too hard on Nikki. And so Dutch breaks down in front of F. Meanwhile, F is treating McGeever. He talks to the master through him, and he basically says he's going to kill himself before he turns into anything like him. Now, in the, one of the most action-packed parts, the ancients come on a van that Gus drives. They are on the bottom of the elevator as Gus takes it to Palmer's penthouse. And she lets the ancients and himself into the penthouse, but then Palmer uses UV lights to burn them off. They all burn except Gus, who escapes. And in the finale, McGeever isn't dying, so the next step is to test the transmission by cutting him loose and infecting the other vampires. So, pretty cool with the strain. Okay, what about other shows on the Sunday night lineup? Well, we have The Last Ship and Falling Skies. And I really like the direction that The Last Ship is taking, sort of not aboard the ship anymore, but really trying to find out what's happening in the world. And it's pretty cool, this plot line with the president, the recently inducted president's Secretary Michener. And so episode 207 was a really good psychological one. It's called Alone and Unafraid. It received a 0.7 rating, which was even with the previous weeks with 2.956 million viewers. So the Secretary Michener, now the president, is being held against, Tom Chandler thinks he's being held against his will and is being forced to be the president. So basically, Chandler interrogates him and realizes that he's not being forced. He actually feels he can do a really good job as president, and he really believes in the Ramses as well. So Chandler's crew starts a bomb scare. Chandler protects President Michener, and Michener wants him as a bodyguard. So Sean welcomes him to the team and gives him a gun. So, and it's figured out that they're moving the president to New Orleans tonight. So the sub gets a bearing on the Nathan James, and it's heading for the compound. And Ned is going to spread the virus by giving one of the New Jersey infiltrators an infected bear to bring to the trailer park and to infect the children. And it's actually Dan from the Nathan James. Meanwhile, patient zero, Felix, sees Tex and believes he's met him before, and does. And while this is going on, Dan talks to a girl, Laura, and tells her to run away. Then Dan shoots the guards, Ramsey's guards, while Tex holds Felix, and Felix gets shot. And they take off with Felix in the truck along with Dan, and Ned is injured as a result of the shooting spree. Meanwhile, the president has to be taken to the sub. So Tom wants to take him out the back way of the hotel for some air. So the crew and Chandler mercilessly take out the guards. Chandler says they're with the U.S. Navy and take the president with them in the van that Tex is driving, and Dan destroys the infected toys. And the sub tracks the ship, and it surfaces, and the sub prepares to fire. But then the Nathan James disappears. And as this is going on, the crew get on board the ship. The chopper lands on the Nathan James, and Tex gives Doc Rachel one of the infected toys to examine. And then the president is angry. And Tom wants to use the president to win the hearts and minds of America and to lead the people. So all in all, I thought this was a very good episode. Now, Falling Skies, I think, too, it's still maintaining the drama of the human characters, even to the point where the Aspeni plot is way secondary, which I think is good for its final season, to focus on the human characters. So in Falling Skies, episode 505, Non-Essential Personnel, it received a rating of 0.5 with 2.033 million viewers. So let's play our theme song to Falling Skies and then review it. Here we go. We'll be right back. Pope and Anthony are blasting skitters, terrorizing the people, and Pope is playing this game with Tom Mason, tells him to go to the playground where hell is there, but hell isn't there. Meanwhile, Pope is recruiting people to fight for his cause, and he's eliminating, as the title implies, non-essential personnel. But this nurse wants to go with them, and he lets her, and her name is Isabella. Meanwhile, the second mass is on the move. While hell is being held prisoner at Pope's new base, a bowling alley. But then a second mass is stopped in their tracks by this group that want their transport as well as ammo. So Dan Weaver wants to talk to them. They open the door for him, and Dan gets injured inside, and he's being held. And Ann goes in and talks to the gunman, and they show her that Weaver is alive, and the gunman has wife and kids, and he's trying to protect them. So then Ann is released. Meanwhile, Pope cuts hell on his arm, and Tom hears hell's cries as Pope calls to him, and Tom vows to kill him. Meanwhile, hell decides Isabella isn't a nurse by the way she treats him up, and Pope comes in, and hell won't admit Tom got so many people killed. So hell says if it wasn't for Tom, his father, they would all be dead. And Pope pulls a gun on hell, but then they hear a disturbance. And something alien is attacking them. So Pope shoots a downed man right in front of Isabella. And Tom is watching Pope. And then his wife appears to him and says, if he dies, they will lose the war. They need Tom to deliver a new weapon that will destroy the Isfani. And he can't go out there. But Tom does. He needs to retrieve his son. He reconnoiters Pope's HQ. Pope sees him. Tom shoots him directly in the chest. Meanwhile, Isabella releases Hal. Hal arms himself. Tom is shot in the leg by Pope and tells Hal to go. And then one of these hornets, Isfani, whisks Tom away when Hal drives off. Meanwhile, Weaver gets free from the gunmen. Maggie and Ben arrive, and Weaver talks the gunmen down. And the man shows them what's behind a door. His family has all been dead, and Weaver wants to help him. And he's a new character now that is put into the resistance movement, Marty. And Isabella is also a new character, too. So I like how they're forming new characters, a love interest for Hal, and for Marty, you know, a friend for Weaver. And Hal is looking for his dad while Pope is still alive at the end of Falling Skies, this episode. Okay, this brings us now to Teen Wolf, episode 506. Required reading. This had to reach an all-time series low from a 0.6 to a 0.4 with 1.137 million viewers. But it does pick up this last night or two nights ago. It does pick up. So this is from a week ago. So required reading, episode 506. Let us play our Teen Wolf theme song and then review it. Here we go. So I like this whole idea of this new enemy, the Dread Doctors. And Malia is calling Donovan and the others chimeras. And Stiles thinks the humans had something in common before being altered by the Dread Doctors. But what? So Lydia recalls a memory of the Dread Doctors when she was in surgery at the hospital and tells the others. So the teens read the paperback novel. That's why it's called Required Reading. And they're not feeling anything. And Malia asks Stiles what he did to his shoulder because Donovan attacked him with that sucker-like hand. And that's where Donovan's hand suckers touched him. And Theo records then Kira talking in Japanese in her sleep. So Lydia has a vision of a woman who drilled a hole in her head. And she says they're coming for all of them. And it was her grandmother. So apparently the Dread Doctors have been there before, obviously, and Lydia's grandmother also knew about it, too. So Kira can't read her the book, her Fox site is presenting her from reading it. And then Scott suffers from an asthma attack. When he became the Wolf, he no longer had asthma. So the Dread Doctors apparently breed fear into their victims. And Liam gives him an inhaler, and he uses it and recovers. And then Malia watches Theo work out and wants to know why Theo didn't tell Scott about her memory of her mother, the Desert Wolf, and says he didn't want to. And Theo wants to be a part of the pack and is interested in her. Meanwhile, Theo plays a recording of Kira to Scott, and translated it means, "I am the messenger of death." And so Scott thinks that the Fox aura is taking over and he may not be able to trust Kira anymore. Then Stiles sees a woman get off the elevator and he follows her, and it's his mom, Claudia. Again, these Dread Doctors induce visions, past visions, like the asthma attack with Scott, now the vision of Claudia, Stiles' mom. And Lydia hears a voice coming from a heart monitor. Meanwhile, Scott, Malia, and Theo are trying to trace the power outage in the hospital, and Lydia sees a person being operated on by the Dread Doctors. Meanwhile, Claudia is moving to the roof, and then Stiles' dad, the sheriff, comforts her and says Stiles is going to kill her. And then she starts beating him up and changes into a chimera. So Theo protects Stiles from the creature and tears its throat out. And then Scott is attacked by the Dread Doctors, and again, suffering from asthma. And Malia tangoes with him too. And then Mom gets Stiles into the elevator, Scott's mom, and Malia follows. And then Mom injects Scott with an EpiPen, and they all get out together. But Theo does not want to tell Stiles what he did or what he will tell about Donovan. So that's how that episode ends. Again, a really neat villain, I think, for this season of Teen Wolf. And I'm so glad that it's been picked up for season 6. It might be the last season, but I'm so glad it's been picked up for season 6. Okay, this brings us to Pretty Little Liars, episode 608, Framed. It received a 0.7 in the rating with 1.58 million viewers. So let's play our Pretty Little Liars theme song and then review it.
A secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you say. Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. In the show you that I know you won't tell what I said. Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
So Aria wants to go to the gallery opening to show off her photographs, but the parents want her to stay close to home. But the police, Detective Tanner, promises to watch out for Aria and the girls to keep her safe. Meanwhile, Reese Matthews from the Kirasimi group meets up with Hannah and Spencer. And Reese describes the process of giving out scholarships, and Reese will tell his boss about how Hannah is reluctant to take the money. Meanwhile, M tells Aria about her relationship, her lesbian relationship with Sarah. And then the Cardillo Gallery opening commences. Aria is there, and she asks Ezra to the prom and then realizes how awkward it is. Then Ezra's friend from Habitat, Project Habitat, Nicole, joins Ezra. And then Aria is credited with 4 pictures of the girls on slabs at the dollhouse. And Tanner is told she never did this, so it was actually Charles who did this. So Aria's mom believed Charles did this all, and she is angry at Tanner. Meanwhile, Allie uses Lorenzo's police pass to get into the department, and Tanner finds her there in the evidence room. And she recognizes her baby rattle, and it was found in the bunker, and they are going to get the predator, Charles. But then she leaves. Aria tells Ezra that Charles wants them all back. And the girls follow Reese to this location, to this dollhouse manufacturing place. And Clark, Aria's friend, goes into the same building. And it's found out by the end that Reese put the paintings in the gallery because Tanner sees him on the video. So the big question is Reese Matthews really Charles? And that's a good question. Okay, in the second to the penultimate finale, summer finale, and Stitchers will be back next season, Stitchers 109, Future Tense. It received a 0.4 rating with 842,000 viewers. Linus's parents want to meet Camille, and Camille reluctantly says yes. Meanwhile, Maggie talks about Kirsten's boyfriend, Liam, and Maggie thinks it's suspicious Liam came back just when she joined the Stitchers program. While this is going on, Vanessa, a psychic, was bludgeoned to death, so Kirsten goes inside her mind and recalls psychics at the studio, and a light sparked, and she experiences the murder of someone else. And Vanessa witnessed this murder, apparently. So Vanessa spoke about an impending darkness coming their way, too. So Kirsten sees a light spark from a camera when they visit the studio. Then the woman who was murdered, Mia, is alive now. And so Kirsten realizes that the psychic sees in the future, and so these events haven't happened yet. So Kirsten and Cameron talk to the girl, Mia. Meanwhile, Liam is being followed by an SUV. He's upset. And Kirsten confronts Maggie, and Maggie says Kirsten is lying to Liam, like she had to do to her son, Ben. So Kirsten stitches again and sees Mia's party, and then Hauser killing Mia at a party. And that party is tonight. And she also sees Cameron in a chamber, dead. So at Mia's party, Kirsten and Cameron are there. Liam follows her and thinks she's having a relationship with Cameron, but Kirsten tells him to go. And then Cameron asks Kirsten if she loves Liam, and she doesn't answer it because they see Mia then sneaking back inside after the party. And Hauser follows, and it looks like he's trying to strangle her because Mia was torching the place, and Vanessa saw the fire associated with Mia. So Mia actually killed Vanessa. It was an accident, and Mia pushed her against a shelf, and this rock fell down and hit her in the head. So, case solved. Meanwhile, what about Camille? She sees Linus's parents. She impresses them, and basically, Linus's mom shows Camille a beautiful ring from Linus's great-grandmother. She tries it on, and Linus puts it on her hand, and she loves it. And so it looks like she basically has wowed Linus's parents. So it looks like the relationship is on again between Linus and Camille. Meanwhile, Kirsten does not give Liam the whole truth, but she says he can't get married, and Liam leaves. But now he's in contact with others, and he says it's plan B now. So we don't know who Liam is working for. Very, very interesting. We still don't know because Liam is not in the season finale, unfortunately. But a lot of good stuff happens in the season finale. Okay, Scream, episode 105, Exposed. Do we have a killing? Do we have a killing? Well, I don't think so. Let's see. It received a 0.3 rating with 751,000 viewers. Emma is made fun of by students who saw her video with Will, and Will said he did not film them. So was it Jake? But it was actually Will, we find out later, who did film both of them. So Emma gets a call from Ghostface, and he says, how's it feel to be the star of the show? So Emma reminds her peers of a candlelight vigil for Nina, Tyler, Riley, and Rachel, one killed in each of the previous four episodes. And then Detective Lorraine Brock is called in to take over the investigation from the sheriff and wants to talk to Emma. And Emma gives a speech about Riley, but Noah takes over for her when Ghostface says, tell that cop about me and you'll find your mom's heart in a box. So Em sees Ghostface briefly at the vigil, and he disappears. Brooke admits, meanwhile, that Will took a bet with Nina that he could take Em in approximately 1 month. And Em says, everyone lies and everyone's sorry. And Em slaps Will and says she was a bet. And Will says he loves her, but she doesn't want him back, and they're done. Meanwhile, the mayor is meeting someone. It's a man in a mask. And the mayor gives him $10,000 not to go public with the video. But the masked man wants $100,000 in one day. And then another masked guy joins them, and it's both Will and Jake. Meanwhile, Brooke's dad, who is the mayor, tells Brooke that her mom was checked into rehab. And then M kisses Kieran right in front of Will. And Noah and Audrey suspect Mr. Branson of something, Mr. B. Then Ghostface calls Emma again, says when he says it's over, she is going to lose. And then the sheriff tells Emma's mom that Lorraine and him were together a while back, but he finally kisses her and she kisses him back and it feels good. Then Jake brings pizza over to Brooke and tells Brooke that Will is blackmailing her dad. And dad listens in on the video. And Jake shows Brooke the video of dad dragging a body from the car. Is it his wife? And he shows the video to Brooke. Meanwhile, Kieran trains M to shoot cans with the gun. And he gives her the gun. She refuses. They kiss instead. And he says he can't win. They want to be alive. And they make love. So there you go. Okay, but no killing. And no killing in the next episode either, so they better have the killing soon. Okay, what about Proof, episode 107? I really like this, St. Luke's. It received a 0.3 rating with 2.11 million viewers. Kids, Sophia, or Sophie, who's Kat's daughter, and Wade are at a cemetery. And Sophie explains that a black man, Joshua Butler, was hung outside the church. His ghost is supposed to be haunting the place, and they see someone coming and take off. And the security person gets hit, but by whom we don't know. So Carolyn is pissed Sophie was out, and she thinks she hit the guy, but Sophie thinks it was Joshua Butler. So Carolyn wants to investigate. They find the church locked. Carolyn lets Zed investigate along with Janelle while she goes back to the hospital. It looks like someone is spying on Zed. Meanwhile, Kat's father is taken to the hospital. He might have had a heart attack. And Zed and Janelle, meanwhile, seek out the psychic Van Owen. He decides not to help out, but they photograph something unusual at the place. So Carolyn goes on her own. She runs into a priest who is going to do an exorcism so the diocese can sell the church. And meanwhile, her father has been diagnosed. He needs surgery as soon as possible. Dr. Zellman does the surgery. Carolyn watches, and he's okay. And then Van Owen comes to the church after he sees the photo and finds a secret room close to where the anomaly was filmed. Someone was living there, and Carolyn finds out a squatter by the name of Samuel Garvey, dressed like Joshua, and then the police have escorted him to the shelter. And Carolyn then makes amends with her dad when she finally finds out that her dad stood up for her mom when his parents did not want him to marry a white woman. And he stood up for her. And so finally, she's going to make amends with her dad and be with him more. And then Carolyn goes back to the church and lights a candle for her son, Will. So I like that. That was nice. Okay. So now this brings us to two episodes of Extant. Episode 204, Cracking the Code, which did pick up in its new time slot. It has picked up in the ratings from a 0.6 to a 0.7 with 4.34 million viewers. But now it looks like they're burning off the episodes again because they're going to be showing two episodes back to back starting tonight. So Molly, remember, shoots someone and she shot Toby Shepard, General Toby Shepard, thinking it was a do. But Toby wore a bulletproof vest and Toby is trying to head up work on a virus to attack alien hybrids. But right now it's killing humans. So Molly has to make the virus, which is hybrid, make the virus hybrid specific. And she has to use her talents as an exobiologist. And she agrees to do that. Meanwhile, Ethan keeps seeing Molly and he confides in Lucy about this. And then J.D. Richter visits Molly, who had sex with the guy she picked up and discovers him in her bed and tells him to leave. And J.D. tells Molly about his pregnant daughter, and J.D. needs Molly's help. So J.D. takes Molly to Kelsey, his daughter, and they draw her blood. Meanwhile, Molly tells J.D. that she's sick, and that he's been contaminated by the spores. But in a roundabout way, Molly has found the primer to break the alien DNA code, and she hears "Help me" coming through this wavelength, but the other humans can't hear it. Meanwhile, Ethan leaves Julie's, and Ethan goes to his old home and finds out where Molly now lives and decides to go there, while Kelsey, JD's daughter, goes to the clinic. Molly's place is broken into by Ethan. He faints when he sees a photo of him and Molly, and then Charlie and Lucy retrieve him. And Molly tells JD, this is a happy note, that Kelsey's blood is normal. He thanks her. She loses it then and comes on to him after she blacks out, and then JD wakes her up. And Kelsey returns, and Molly says her baby is okay. And then Molly takes a shower and sees in the mirror the writing, "Ethan was here." Now, this gets even better the next episode, Extant 205, The New Frontier, and it picked up even more in the ratings from a 0.7 to a 0.8 with 4.32 million viewers. Molly contacts JD, and JD thinks at first that Ethan... So we're back, with Extant, The New Frontier. So Molly contacts JD. JD thinks that Ethan was here, signature was a prank. So Lucy tells Ethan they're hiding something from him. And JD then is able to get Charlie's fingerprint off of the signature then. So Molly and JD go to Julie's, and Molly sees Ethan there, and she hugs him and says she's his mother. And Ethan says Julie is her mom, so Julie says she's Ethan's legal guardian, and JD tells Molly to leave. And then Julie finally fesses up to Ethan, saying that Molly is her real mom, but she couldn't take care of her anymore. And Julie says she's the one that created him, and Ethan wants Lucy back. Meanwhile, Molly wants JD to investigate John's death, her husband's death, and JD will do it. So Molly then confronts Toby Shepard regarding Ethan and John, and she's going to go public unless she gets some answers. And Lucy is told Ethan was reprogrammed and they can only trust each other now. So Toby meets up with Madam Secretary, the one heading up the project, Fiona and Anna, and tells them Molly can help with the trying to figure out the virus to attack the alien hybrid. But Ethan needs to be returned to her. And Julie believes they're going to take Ethan away. So Fiona talks to Ethan. Ethan does miss Molly. He's sad and angry. And Toby goes to Molly's, and he's going to get Ethan back. But Molly comes on to Toby, and then JD intrudes, because, again, she's having one of her blackouts, and Molly tells Toby to go. Then Molly wakes up late, meets with Fiona, and Julie is there, and Molly loses it, but says she's Ethan's mother, and Fiona wants Molly to regain custody of her child. So JD finds right before John died that Julie caught him. So something is strange here, that this was not an accident. And then Lucy is taken by Charlie out to eat, and then she stabs someone brutally. So what happened? Well, we'll find out by the end of it. Toby breaks up with Shanna, but he's interrupted when Anna tells him Lucy made her first hybrid kill. So she's been programmed to kill targets, and she's done the first one. So she's deemed a success by the group. And Molly is changing at the end, and she has glowing eyes. And she kills the one she made love to, and JD sees it. So now she's changing and become alien too. Wow. Can this get any darker? Okay, so for Thursday night, we have Beauty and the Beast, Under the Dome, and Dominion. So Beauty and the Beast, episode 308, Shotgun Wedding. I did like this. It was flat with 0.2 with 980,000 viewers. Juliana wakes up from her coma. Vincent's going to talk to her, but they don't want to tell Kat, so they want to have her focus on the wedding. And Juliana thinks Liam sent Vincent, and Liam is superpowered too, so Vincent has to stop Liam with his powers. So they're at a rehearsal dinner. Both Tess and Vincent are notified that Juliana escaped, and then JT, Tess, and Vincent have to keep this news from Kat. And Juliana finds Vincent and Tess at the precinct. And she's trying to get the serum in the evidence room, the beast serum, but she escapes and Kat finds out Juliana broke into the precinct, and Kat walks into the precinct and Tess assures her there's nothing to worry about. And Kat is taken in a limo, but then Juliana breaks into the car going to the church and they fight. Vincent stops the car and they restrain Juliana again. And what Tess does is she cuffs Juliana to a radiator, and she's tranked by JT. And Kat, meanwhile, is walking away from Vincent, and Vincent calms her down and tells her that the wedding still should be on. And so Kat and Vincent arrive at the church. Meanwhile, Liam, the big bad, arrives at JFK. He's tracking Juliana and finds her at the church. And as Kat walks down the aisle, Juliana screams. Liam killed her and ripped her arm off, and it's still cuffed to the radiator, and Vincent is thrown through a wall, and Liam disappears. So they didn't get married, and Kat needs time for herself, and Vincent is looking for Kat. Meanwhile, Tess is going to have to go to the review board for a hearing because of what she did, not bringing Juliana to the station, and JT calls her, making her happy. And then Vincent meets Kat on the roof. And Vincent wants to stop Liam, but Kat does not want to do this anymore. And Kat wants it all to be over. So she quits following them, this track she's on, even though she does want to marry Vincent in the future. Okay. What about Under the Dome, episode 307, Ejecta? It reached a 1.0 rating with 4.68 million viewers. So let's play Under the Dome, the little theme song, and then we'll review Under the Dome from last week. Here we go. So Christine is still in a cocoon, and people start falling out of the town hall window, and Barbie tells them to stop because they have no one to guide them now. And then shooting starts hitting the earth, and a meteor hits close by. And the pink stars in this event calm down the residents in the town hall. So Barbie and Eva see the dome held despite that meteor shower. But Barbie wants to see if anyone survived out there by going to Bird Island. But they're trapped up in the hall's attic. And Eva comes on strong to Barbie. Then Barbie finds Eva hit the key, and he gets out. Meanwhile, Nori and Joe see the meteor hit, and Hunter's with them, and Hunter wanted Eva to kill him, and he starts yelling, so they put him in a freezer at the restaurant. And the ejecta occurs, which means secondary impacts as the debris from the first hit comes back down, according to Joe. And then Sam shows up and says he stabbed Christine, and he's going to work with them. And then it looks like Hunter regains his sanity, but it's short-lived, because Hunter is part of the kinship. And so Nori knocks him out again, and she reasons when he's in pain, he's okay, but when he's on meds, he's more controlled. He's controlled by that alien force. So Nori reasons then it's not pain, it's the emotions. When the feelings surface, their humanity comes back. So Nori says they can fight back, and they need to find Julia. Meanwhile, Big Jim finds a stash of Acteon weapons, and along with Julia, they talk as they drink, and then they pass out, and Indy, his dog, wakes Jim up, and they see a wall of flame approaching the dome. It looks like the apocalypse. And then Junior is looking for Sam, and this is a little bit earlier in the time after Sam takes off in the restaurant, and he goes to the diner. Sam sees him, and Junior wants Sam to help Christine in the caves, so Junior guides him in the caves and then fights him, and he knows that Sam hurt Christine, and they struggle. Meanwhile, Barbie sees people trying to get into the dome, and Eva convinces him to save them on the inside. And then Joe and Nori bring Hunter to Big Jim and Julia, and they are going to be the Resistance Fighters in episode 307. Don't know where this one is going. Extant, I sort of like better than Under the Dome at this point. There's just too many characters, and they're doing all sorts of odd things. Okay, finally, Dominion, episode 204, A Bitter Truth, received a 0.3 rating with 1.048 million viewers. Alex wants Julian to honor his agreement to partner with him to give him an army, and Julian is stalling. Meanwhile, David Weo is taken prisoner, and Zoe has him. And David makes a deal with Zoe, a safe place to hide, and he takes them there. And then David takes Zoe to a studio, and he has access codes to food stores for her group and will give them to her. And then when they're at the studio, he gets the upper hand on Zoe. He gets a gun that he had in his podium, and he talks to the ghost William. And he shoots William, who disappears. And then David, in a roundabout move, gives Zoe the gun and wants her to think big to destroy Claire Ryson. And so again, he's negotiating with the enemy. Meanwhile, an angel sent by Gabriel has been sent to kill Claire Ryson. And Gates is inside of his compound with Claire. So Gates is getting injured by the angel is using his wings to get in, to get Gates. And Gates wants to electrify the steel door and does, frying the angel. But now he's basically pissed. And so the angel has found an ear intake and he's smoking them out. So they blow him up and Claire and Gates get out. And they kiss, and so that's what happens there. Meanwhile, Michael sees Gabriel, and because Noma called to him, and Gabriel says his sister Uriel is dead, and Alex too. But then Michael punches Gabriel repeatedly until Gabriel says Alex is alive, but in fact Uriel is in fact dead. So while this is going on, Alex and Noma find a whole army of eight boys waiting in stasis. And Julian shows Alex and Noma the key that Alex retrieved. And he's going to use it. And he pulls a lower angel down to possess Pete. And Pete is the one that was possessed originally by an eight boy. And Alex then exorcised it. And Noma is next to get possessed. And Julian doesn't know she's an angel, so she breaks free, rescues Alex, and takes the key with the weapon. And Noma tells Alex it's the fifth vial of darkness, the amphorae, and only an angel can unseal the vial. And then Noma and Alex see Julian is a dyad, half human, half angel. And he wants to free the lower angels to even destroy Michael and Gabriel now. And interestingly, Michael and Gabriel are making an alliance to stop Julia. Okay, we are officially done for today. We will be back next week for more shows. Until next time, sleep tight. And sorry for the brief interruption during the segment today. But we will be back. Take care now.